This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, how families deal with the difficult issue of an autistic child living with autism. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Today, we're talking about African Americans and opposition to war. A couple of weeks ago, New York Democrat Congressman Charlie Rangel proposed a bill to revive the military draft. The proposal has caused a ripple through the political system. Joining us now from Miami, Florida, Congressman Rangel joins us on the phone. And Congressman, welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Good to be back with you, Neil. It's a great station, and you got a great program.
Thanks very much. How much support have you gotten for this bill?
A tremendous amount of support. I was never more surprised when a friend of mine, Senator Fritz Hollings from South Carolina, shared with me for a long time not only his support, but the concern as to what poor Southerners have gone through in fighting the wars for America as volunteers, and he introduced my bill in the Senate, which is S-89. And, of course, the editorial support. Some people have doubted my motives and claimed it was merely an anti-war statement for debate. But even though they're not entirely wrong, I think everybody should debate war and that they will focus on it a little clearer if they thought that their family and friends were in harm's way. But if this country is bent on war and if we actually have to send people to fight a war, I think that a draft is more equitable in terms of sharing the sacrifice of any war.
In part, you were saying that if the children of decision-makers, members of Congress like yourself or generals or policymakers, if their children were subject to possible conflict, they might think twice.
That's true, but I'm also saying that this blind support that the president apparently believes he has, since the House of Representatives are representatives of the people's thinking, the House members that voted in support of giving the president this extraordinary authority probably was reflecting the thinking of the people in their congressional districts. And I can't begin to tell you how many people support the war in the districts around this country until I asked the question, would your support be just as strong if it was your son that had to go over? And most of them would say no. This idea, this cavalier idea that we're talking about some people that we don't know, that are faceless, that are nameless because they are volunteers, has caused a lot of Americans to not be as focused, I think, as they would be if they thought that their kids were subject to a draft, not just the members of Congress.
At the same time, the American military as an institution has often been cited, including, I believe, by you, as one of the rare places in this country where you very publicly see black men and women bossing around white men and women.
I don't know whether bossing around white men and women is a human goal for minorities. I would think that what you're trying to say is that they can achieve positions of authority, that they can improve their economic positions, and in doing so be elevated to ranks that people, regardless of color, would have to respect them. And in that, I would have to agree with you. And certainly as relates to me, I went in as a high school dropout, came out as a staff sergeant, more self-esteem than I ever needed in life, and as a result of that, went back to high school, and hey, I now sit in the United States Congress. But say all you want as to why people enlist, and I don't believe it's to show loyalty to the United States. They enlist because they think that this is an opportunity where they can improve the quality of their lives and that of their families. Having said that, I don't believe that we should have to join the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and place ourselves in harm's way in order to get these opportunities. They should be available for everybody. And to think that volunteer truly means that you're volunteering for war, that you're volunteering to fight, I think if you take a look and see what the rates are of people volunteering now, not only are they almost non-existent, but the Secretary of Defense has had to take people who are in the service as a result of volunteers that are scheduled to be discharged and to put an additional year on their sentence, a year that they did not volunteer for. And so while Rumsfeld and the rest of them raise a lot of devil about draftees not being effective in war, which I think is an insult to the draftees that fought and died for this country over the years, I don't know how they explained whether or not the volunteers that were about to be discharged are considered draftees now, because they are there for unrequested extension of their term.
Let's go now to Boris, who's on the line with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
How you doing? I'm glad to make it to the show. I like Congressman Rangel. My question is basically, I agree with you in terms of your intention behind the draft, in terms of broadening the commitment of our overall society to the military and broadening their risk into it. But I believe the resistance will more strongly come from the military. With the volunteer force, they have people, whether it's for economic reasons or not, who want to be there. And I really believe that I think a lot of what you say is true. Really what we need to focus on are the Pell Grants and other things to help people improve their circumstances. And also, you know, for the most part, if we have the draft, the influential people will continue to find a way to keep their kids out of the military, or at least out of the combat areas, as, you know, Dan Quayle and our president, their military careers have demonstrated that.
Well, for one of the biggest loopholes that we've had in past drafts was the exemptions of women, exemptions of people that were going to college and people that were going to graduate school. And certainly you cannot not support something that you believe in because you think there's a way out of it. You know, there's ways out of not paying taxes, but we have tax laws. And I think that if we find that people unfairly bypassing their national obligations, whether it's in the military or outside, then that's something that would have to be corrected. But the other question, Boris, that you raised as to whether or not the military would not want draftees, whether they would want poorer people that are harder fighters, that have less to lose, and it's not their choice to make. They are to execute the law of the land. And the law of the land is supposed to represent the thinking of the people of the United States of America. And so whether they're anxious to fight in Iraq or Afghanistan or North Korea or wherever, they cannot do this unless it's authorized by the Congress and unless the American people feel that they're authorizing the Congress to do that. That's what makes our government such a beautiful constitutional process. And so the generals don't determine who they are going to train and fight. Their professional jobs is to train people to defend the United States of America. A lot of people don't know, however, that people who volunteer to serve will always be a part of a draft army, that they will always be there to train and to guide and to be there. And recently, Rumsfeld had indicated that he thought that draftees in Vietnam were not really worth the effort to have them there. He, as he said, added no value and no advantage really to the United States Armed Services. And that is such an insulting remark, since close to half of the people that died in Vietnam, of the 58,000, 20,000 were draftees. And I don't know how any general or officer that served in Vietnam could say that draftees were not as courageous as those that volunteered. And let me say this, as someone who volunteered in 1948 for the Army, nobody volunteers to get shot or to put themselves in harm's way. It is true when the flag goes up and you have a responsibility, then you are prepared to fight and die for the country. But the whole idea that we have some French Foreign Legion that people are just anxious to get to the front lines is just poppycock, no matter what they try to portray over Fox television.
Congressman Rangel, thanks very much for being with us today.
I enjoyed it, Neil.
Appreciate it. Charlie Rangel is a Democrat, a congressman who represents New York's 15th district, and he was with us by phone from Miami, Florida. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.